The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer on this Palm Sunday. We're about to enter the most holy week in the Christian year, and today in our service we're going to be setting the scene for that holy week in our service. We also want to say a big word of thanks today to ladies from the Sunday School who have been handing out our gifts of palm crosses. And they remind us, if you take a look at that leaflet that goes with the palm crosses, all about the significance of all that lies ahead this week. So do please take away that leaflet and read it as a devotion for this coming week. Each evening at 7:30, we look forward from Monday to Thursday about thinking about the healing power of the cross. And there will be opportunity for prayer for healing at the end of those services from Monday to Wednesday. On Thursday, our service is the service of Holy Communion. And on Good Friday, there is an all-day prayer vigil here in church from 7 in the morning right through to 7:30 at night. And if you can take responsibility and pray for half an hour, we'd love to have a prayer presence in the church right throughout the day. At 12 noon on Good Friday, there will be a family service here in church. And at 7:30, we have the solemn service of Tenebrae. And then on Easter Day, we look forward to celebrating Holy Communion at 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Couple of advance notices. It's the time of year when we are hoping to arrange confirmation services. And if there are any adults who've never been confirmed, or if there are any teenagers from the age of 13 upwards, confirmation classes will be beginning on the 1st of May from 5 to 6 over a course of about 8 Sundays. And if you want to speak to me about it afterwards, do please get in touch. We also want to say today a very warm word of welcome to our new church wardens who were elected at the Easter vestry during the week. Angela Harvey is the new rector's warden. David Cairns is the new people's church warden. And we also want to thank our outgoing church wardens, Greg and Catherine, for all that they have done over these past year and a little bit more. But at this point, I want to just hand over to Andy, who has a little announcement to make about our plans to welcome a family from Ukraine in the coming weeks.
Good morning. I'm going to put the IT people on the spot, and I'm going to look at that camera up there, because there's a family who will probably check in with this morning. Right now they're in Warsaw, and I'm going to say hello or hi, and I think the word is previt, I haven't said that properly, but I'm going to wave, and I'm saying hello to Evgen, Katerina, Alina, Arina, and Ina, and a cat whose name I don't know. And they've applied for their visas, and they're heading our way. And we're asking God to make that straightforward. And this Wednesday, minds much greater than mine are meeting to talk about what they need. And there is accommodation set aside for them. And we want to make it comfortable. We want to make it good. We want to make it loving. And so on Wednesday evening, once people have made something like a wedding list, we're going to share it on Facebook with a phone number. And we'd ask for you to look at it and share it around. And there are some people in the church who aren't on Facebook. Some people in the church you can only contact by pigeon. I want you to write it down and share it with them. And help us as a church to make this a loving house that has everything this family needs. So please look out for that on Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Our opening hymn today is a hymn of celebration and praise. As we think of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, we stand to sing, make way for Christ the King.
Good morning. Our service this morning is morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve You in newness of life, to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm today is Psalm 118. It's a psalm that speaks of God's loving kindness. A word that we use, or the word that we translate for that, is mercy. Let's stand and say Psalm 118 together. O Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, Lord, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Please be seated for the Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, beginning at verse 4. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he who will condemn me? This is the word of the Lord.
During our next hymn, we'll ask children and young people who are going to Sunday school to go on across to the hall. We'll stand and sing, King of Glory, King of Peace.
Thank you.
Please take your seats for the New Testament reading.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 19th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is the word of the Lord.
Not long after Easter, there's going to be a weekly Bible study organized by the diocese, and it looks like it's going to be very interesting. There's a short video just now introducing this to us.
The Bible really is like no other book in the world. 66 books are written by something like 40 different human authors, written over a period of 1,500 years, on three continents, in three languages. But you know, the most incredible thing about the Bible is that it claims to be the Word of God. This is where we hear God speak. This is where we find wisdom to live out our lives. This is where we find out who Jesus is and why he came. I'm Josh Hooker. I'm a Bible teacher and a Crosslinks mission partner. And I'd like to invite you along to the Diocesan Bible course starting this spring. This course is for Christians at any stage of their Christian experience. It's for anyone who wants to know more about the Bible and how it relates to their lives. I think it would be particularly useful for Sunday school teachers, for youth group leaders, for small group leaders. But you don't need to know lots about the Bible already. There are no exams or assignments. Our aim is that you will know the Bible and love the Bible. So we're going to meet here in St. Donard's, and there are three modules that we're going to be looking at. They'll last for 10 weeks each, and they'll run over the next year with a break for the summer. But our sessions are going to be relaxed but informative. What are we going to study? Module 1 is an overview of the New Testament. We're going to look at all 27 books of the New Testament, but we're going to do so devotionally. We want you to treasure them as the Word of God. We want you to live by them and love them. But most of all, we want you to meet Jesus through the pages of the New Testament and follow him more and love him more. Module 2 is an overview of the Old Testament. with an eye on the history of Israel, we're going to move book by book through this section of the Bible. We're going to see how it's organized. We're going to see what different types of literature you can find there. But we're also going to see that the Old Testament is important for Christians today. We ignore it at our peril, because these ancient books point us to Jesus. In module 3, we go behind the scenes of the New Testament. We get to find answers to our who, when, where, what questions. Have you ever wondered who the Pharisees were and what they believed? Or what a phylactery is? Or where Philippi was? Have you ever wondered what happened in those 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament? In this module, you'll get to see the New Testament come alive. I hope I've really whetted your appetite. All the information you need to know about the course is here in this leaflet. Why not ask your minister for a copy or go to the Down and Dromore website to find it there? I'm really looking forward to meeting you and excited to be teaching this course, because this book is the book that every Christian needs to know. This book helps us to know God better. This book tells us about Jesus. So why not join us this year to study the most important book in the world?
So that begins on the 26th of April, and we'll update you. We'll give you more information as it comes. But let's stand together and share the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's worship together as we stand and sing, Ride On in Majesty.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We stand this morning on the cusp of Holy Week, the most holy week in the church's year. And this year here in St. Finian's, we're looking forward to welcoming Dr. Stephen Rogers to be with us as our preacher from Monday through to Thursday. And Stephen is a GP, he's a pastor, and he has a particular interest in mental health. And he's going to be speaking this year on the theme of the healing power of the cross. And that might seem like a perplexing theme to many of us because we've just been through these past couple of years with the global pandemic. We've seen so much sickness, so much suffering, so much death. And we're also very mindful that this virus is still around us. Infection rates are still high, and there is that need still to be cautious and careful. But we want to think about the power of the cross to bring healing into our lives. And so there will be that opportunity throughout this week if people have different situations in their lives where they long for God's healing. They long for his touch upon their lives. There will be the opportunity to have prayer for that. And throughout the season of Lent, which is the season we're currently in, we have been journeying together towards the cross. And on Thursday evenings during Lent, we've been thinking very carefully about what does it mean or what significance is there in being a disciple or a follower or an apprentice of Jesus in our lives in 2022. So today we're continuing this journey towards the cross, and for many people who are here in church this morning and for those who will come faithfully each night during this coming week from Monday to Friday at 7:30, and for those who can't come, the services are going to be live streamed. But for many people who will come faithfully or who will tune in at home, I know that there's absolutely nothing new in what I'm going to tell you this morning. Many of us who have grown up in this country have been hearing all about these events since we were small children. And a lot of us are very familiar with the sequence of events. We know who did what, and we know, of course, the ultimate outcome. But in approaching it afresh this year, I want to suggest that maybe it's important for all of us to let go of that simple factual understanding of the events of Holy Week, and to move into a deeper place, to move into a more personal place, and a place that really starts to ask the searching question, what does all of this stuff mean for my life in 2022? And as we begin to ask this question, it maybe brings up things within us. And so we don't want to leave all the questions hanging there. And if, as you make your way through this week, either here in person or online, maybe you want to explore a little bit deeper, a little bit further. And after Easter, there's going to be that opportunity to do so in the Diocesan Bible course and also here in the parish through an online Alpha course, which many people have been taking over the past couple of years. But we want to extend that invitation to those who maybe find that their spiritual questions are revolving around in their head and they're looking for answers and looking for what does this mean for my life. But a simple but obvious thing for me to say this morning is that each one of us who are here in church today are different people to the people that we were this time last year. Even in the vestry, when I was speaking with Andy before the service, I was remembering that this time last year, these Holy Week services took place behind closed doors. It was me and the technology team at the back of the church and our visiting preacher from last year. So this year has a very different feel, even, because we can come together in person. But there are things that have happened, too, in each of our lives that maybe make us look at the events of Holy Week in a different way than before. So may we all be open to allowing these events to speak to our hearts afresh, or maybe for some of us, for the very first time. Maybe we've never thought before these things have any relevance or significance in my life. And maybe because of all the terrible things happening in the world or difficult things happening to us personally, we want to come to the cross afresh. And we want to see if we can find any meaning or any purpose there. But this week that stretches out in front of us, it can be pretty much the same as last week, if we're honest, so long as our personal circumstances remain unchanged. But I want to ask questions about the man who we heard about entering Jerusalem on a donkey, surrounded and cheered by the crowds. Who is he? And what has he come to do? And maybe the most obvious and equally the most difficult thing to tell you is that he has come to Jerusalem to die. And as he enters Jerusalem in triumph in our gospel reading today, it's actually very hard for us to believe that if we were listening to that gospel reading. Because in truth, it sounds more like a pop star or a famous footballer or celebrity has come to town, and Jerusalem's equivalent of the red carpet is out as people throw their cloaks on the ground and the palm branches they had cut from the fields. Hundreds and thousands of pilgrims are in the city to celebrate the great Jewish festival of the Passover. And so Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey in triumph. And yet, we who are reading what happened know that he is soon to die. And as the onlookers in this very real drama and crisis that's unfolding, well, we might feel like just resigning ourselves to what we know is about to happen. But perhaps the most striking thing about today, about Palm Sunday for me, is the sense of purpose, the sense of purpose with which Jesus approaches it. Because Jesus has a deep sense of being part of his Father's plan. Sometimes in life, we go through experiences where we know things are absolutely outside our control. During the half-term holidays, our car broke down on a journey, and we found ourselves being completely dependent on the help of strangers to get us going again. So something that was, again, outside our control, we were helped in that moment. But again, we might find ourselves at the present time or in recent months or years even, being diagnosed unexpectedly with a serious illness. And again, we realize that we're dependent on doctors, on medical advice to help us through this difficult situation. But when we look at what is going on in the gospel this morning, we notice that it is Jesus who has taken control here. Everything happens just as he says it will, in terms of finding the donkey, being able to borrow it, and realizing that as he mounts that donkey and as he enters the city in the most public way possible, this will lead into his enemy's hands and they will kill him. And it's quite staggering for me that realizing all that lay ahead, Jesus still proceeded with courage. And it's interesting that as he entered Jerusalem in this very public way, with lots of fanfare, he came on a donkey, the animal that signified peace, rather than on a horse, which indicated his military might and strength. And that's the way great rulers would have entered conquered cities, on a very fine stallion or a horse. But instead, Jesus comes on an animal that signifies peace. And when we visualize all that is happening in our world at the present time, it's a very countercultural message if we think about Jesus as being the king, that rather than enter the city with tanks or with unbelievably powerful weaponry or with the threat of even more powerful weaponry behind him, he chooses to enter on an animal that signifies peace. And people were all looking for a military Messiah who would overcome the oppressive Roman regime. And while Jesus makes this royal entry, it's on a donkey, as if to say to people, I do not come to establish my kingdom with might and with strength, but I come with humility and I come with love. And if you're looking for a king to follow in your life today, what sort of king do you want to follow? Is it one who is going to crush any opposition with military might? Or is it someone who stretches out his hands on a cross and says, I'm here to serve you. I love you. I'm prepared to die for you, even though I am the king of the world. It's a very countercultural way to establish a kingdom, isn't it? There's no razzmatazz, there's no catchy slogan to get you on this particular bandwagon. There are no election promises. Instead, Jesus has warned in an earlier place that whoever wants to follow him must count the cost and take up their cross, because it won't necessarily be easy. And if you want to explore that idea a little bit deeper, take a look on the St. Finian's YouTube channel at our midweek service from Thursday, where Andy explained this in a magnificent way, because Jesus was crystal clear there would be a cost to following him. And as this week unfolds, and Stephen will be unpacking it for us, we will see misunderstanding. We will see mockery and derision. We will see physical suffering, and we know that we'll eventually see death. But Jesus continues undaunted. He is 100% committed to the task of doing his Father's will, of making the gift of forgiveness of sins and the possibility of a new start available to any who will turn to him. And that's really good news to all of us who know that along the way we have messed up. We've got things wrong. We've failed. We've hurt people. We've let people down. And we carry these things in our hearts and in our lives. And yet Jesus promises this new start for anyone who will turn to him. And as the Pharisees and the religious leaders warn Jesus, and they warn him in a pretty threatening way, and they speak about the danger to his life, and they urge his disciples to stay quiet. They don't want them to speak. Jesus says very simply, you know, if these guys stay quiet, the stones will cry out. The stones will cry out. And so there is something within Jesus' spirit that makes him an undaunted mouthpiece for truth and for justice. And maybe that's why people are sometimes inclined to feel disillusioned with the church, while they constantly feel drawn to Jesus himself. Because as an institution or a community within the church, sadly, we don't always champion those values and those principles that Jesus stood for. We look to live a bit below the radar. We don't want to rock the boat. Whereas Jesus felt compelled to stand up in those situations where the truth needed to be told. And I know that many of us, myself probably foremost among them, feel very threatened by that. It's hard to stand up whenever we see injustice and to try to do something about it. And so as we enter the events of this most holy week, and I'm only setting the scene, let's be drawn again by the love which compelled Jesus to do what he did for us. And let's make the response that he so longs to see from us in terms of the allegiance and the surrender of our hearts and lives to his ways and to the revolution of love that he came to bring. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for this Holy Week, with services taking place all over the world in all sorts of contexts, in places where there's peace and prosperity, in places where there is war and destruction and poverty. And we pray for all those who will seek in some small way to open your word and to help people to understand the significance of your son's death and resurrection. We pray especially in our own context for Stephen Rogers as he comes to explore the healing power of the cross. And we pray for all of us who are in need of God's healing today. We pray for all who feel battered and broken by grief, anxiety, hopelessness, and despair. And we ask that the healing power of the cross would bring restoration, hope, and new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and this morning we ask for great wisdom for the United Nations as it seeks to stand alongside Ukraine. We pray for the courage to be able to act collectively and decisively. And we pray also for the work of the International Red Cross. We pray for that organization as it seeks to evacuate people to safety and to bring aid where it is desperately needed. Lord, we would ask for protection on all these operations, asking that many lives would be saved on all sides by your miraculous hand. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And this morning we pray especially for the family that we hope to welcome to a local house as their visas are processed in Warsaw. So we pray this morning for Evgen and his wife, Katerina, for Evgen's mum, Inna, and for the children, Alina and baby, Arina, born just a few weeks ago in the besieged city of Mariupol. Lord, we ask for your hand to be upon this family in the traumas of their journey, and for all that awaits them as they hopefully make their way here in the coming weeks. We pray that we as a church together would do all that we can to help them to settle and to find a secure future here for as long as they need to be here. We also want to pray today for those who have recently been bereaved. And we remember especially the family and friends of Delia Lennon, whose funeral will take place here tomorrow at 11 o'clock. We also want to pray for a quiet moment for any others known to us who are sick or struggling and in need of God's touch and his peace in their lives today. And we remember them before God in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So then, let's respond to what we've heard by singing together, "It is a thing most wonderful." Thank you for joining us today here in church, and to those of you watching online, it's been a pleasure to share this time and a privilege to share this time of worship together. Let's close our service with a blessing prayer. Christ, draw you to himself and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is Praise to the Holiest in the Heights.